Welcome to Revival for Mission. Did you know that according to researchers, nearly 130 million books have been published just in modern times? That's a lot of books. And today we're going to be talking about one particularly powerful book, a book so powerful that it has changed the lives of millions of people around the world. Stay with us to learn more right here on Revival for Mission.
Do you like to read? I certainly do, and I have more books than I can ever read, I believe, and they are just multiplying, it seems. Pastor Wilson, I've actually been to your house once, and I've seen a lot of the books that you have, so I assume you do like to read?
I enjoy looking at lots of interesting things at times, and I just don't have much time to read, mm-hmm. but I do spend time in the Word mm-hmm. and in the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy reading those materials. And of course, there are many other materials right. too. And you know, you read news, you're looking at your app, your favorite news source and everything, you're keeping up with things. So reading is really important.
Right.
But what you read, the right books, mm-hmm. that's even more important.
That's right. So why do you think that the Bible, of all books that are, of the millions of books in the world, why is the Bible so different and so powerful? I mean, we believe it's the Word of God, but what is it about the Bible that makes people be willing to die for it? I mean, when we look at the history, we know that many people had died to keep the Bible alive and keep it available. What do you think makes the Bible so different?
Well, the Bible is, as you said, the Word of God, and God gave us instructions as to how to live, mm-hmm. and it is by His Word that mm-hmm. we live. So these words that we read are not just interesting phrases, but they are actually meant to drive into our own hearts, and the Holy Spirit uses that to change a life. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God changes people.
That's right. And the Bible has a lot to say about the power that comes with the Word. So why don't you share with us a little bit about that, and what does the Bible say about itself and the power that comes with it?
Abraham Lincoln, the well-loved and respected American president who brought freedom to thousands of enslaved people, once said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." Now, down through the centuries, young and old from all walks of life have acknowledged the power of the Word of God. Some have given their lives for this precious book and the truth it contains. In Psalm 119, verse 105, David expresses the beauty and guiding power of God's Word. He wrote, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Have you ever been in a really dark place, walking in a thick forest at night, or the mountains, or in a cave, where it was so dark that you strained to see where you were going? But then you turned on a light, a lantern, a flashlight, even a match. And what a difference that light made. Even a single ray of light can make a huge impact in a dark world. God's Word, the Bible, is like that. It gives guidance, hope, and direction. The book of Proverbs is particularly instructive, with every verse giving straightforward, wise counsel for so many life situations. Of course, the Bible also contains sacred history, literature, prophecy, the Gospels, and much more, all designed to lead us into a closer relationship with God. With the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is one of the most direct ways God speaks to us, and it is so important we spend time reading it each day. We are invited in Psalm 34, verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him.
I know I'm looking for something, but what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
Welcome to this segment of Revival for Mission. This experience is going to be something very stimulating for all of us because we're going to be talking to Nina Kulik Acheson, who is an expert, but even more than an expert, she is passionate about helping young people find Jesus. Nina, welcome to Revival for Mission. We're just delighted that you're here with us.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know about your upbringing, your background, because your family and our family, we have been in mission activity years in the past and even today. And your parents are still very much involved in mission outreach and everything. But Nina, tell me a little bit more. Tell us and our viewers a little bit about your background. Did you just stay in one place and never went anywhere? Or what is it that is now giving you this kind of world perspective on helping young people everywhere, not just Australia where you live, but so many other places? Tell us a little bit about your family, about your husband, Matt, and he's a pastor, your children. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, it's amazing looking back over all of our lives. I'm sure we can see how God has led and blessed in so many ways. And when I think back to my distant relatives, my great-great-grandfather was actually from Russia. Mm. And he actually chose to become an Adventist at 16. His family disowned him. And eventually, through the generations, they ended up moving to Australia. But my family, I suppose my father, Peter Kulik, had a burden on his heart to serve in Russia, and that's where we met you, Elder Wilson, and your family.
Yes.
So we've been, my family were missionaries there when I was a teenager, right after communism fell, and we actually traveled a lot. And at the moment, my family are living in Australia, but we've also lived in North America and traveled quite a lot. So it's been a wonderful, rich experience. My three children have also really enjoyed traveling. We love to hike. And my family are very precious to me. I love being a mother first and foremost, but also love to write, to cook. And I love ministry, doing ministry with my husband, Matt, my wonderful husband.
And your children, Jacob and Talia and Eli, I'm sure that has been an inspiration to you as well to help them in their spiritual development. And that has given you a broader picture now of how to help so many others. I mean, how is it that mothers and fathers can really invest in their children to help them to know what truth is all about and what it can truly become in terms of their perspective on life? I mean, before we get into things you've written and your passion about this, just tell me a little bit how these three precious children and others have helped to stimulate your interest in this area.
You know, I think as a parent, as a mother, it's very easy to feel so exhausted. Mm. You know, you're getting up through the night, you're keeping the house tidy, you know, trying to keep the house tidy. And a lot of mothers work. I actually worked in the evenings when I had young children. I was writing a curriculum. And it was so tiring, so exhausting. And I think it's easy to let your spiritual life become kind of the last thing in the day. Mm-hmm. And yet it's the most important time of all because it's the time when you want to train your children and inspire them to love God's word. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that was what really drove me to write a book about this book. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I think I felt the struggle very acutely myself as a mother, mm-hmm. and I still do.
Yeah, well, you mentioned your book. It's called As Light Lingers. Is that right?
As Light Lingers. So it's kind of a unusual title, perhaps.
yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Psalms 119, says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Mm-hmm. And we live in a world that is quite dark, and yet we have this precious book. In many ways, this book, when we hold it before us, mm-hmm. it really is like a lamp. It helps us direct our lives. Mm-hmm. And yet I think often we kind of choose to keep it closed, sometimes without meaning to, but it just sits there in our bookshelves or by our beds. Yet when we open it and allow it to linger in our lives, mm-hmm. it is the most wonderful experience because we meet the author of the book. Right. I think what really prompted me to write this book mm-hmm. was, I guess, really a personal understanding that I was quite dry spiritually. Mm. Even though I grew up in a strong Christian Adventist family, very close, committed Adventist family, I think if you were to think of an analogy of a person, perhaps me, walking through a desert and I'm very thirsty, and I'm just desperate for something to drink. Mm-hmm. And if I see in the far distance a beautiful crystal stream, mm-hmm. is my response to be to run to that stream and just to drink as much as I can? Or mm-hmm. is it to, how little can I drink of that water? Mm-hmm. And yet so often I've felt myself, set my alarm 15 minutes earlier and try to wake up to just, read my chapter and then mm-hmm. without really drawing something from it. Mm.
So it sounds like this book that you wrote came out of a personal experience of dryness, spiritual drought, and wanting to have a deeper experience. So what are some lessons that you learned as you wrote the book, and how did this all come about?
I guess my life wasn't always spiritually dry. It was kind of sporadic, and as mm-hmm. a mother, the busyness overtakes you at times, and you come back to God's word, and then... But I think as I was talking to so many other, not just young parents, but mm-hmm. even older administrators and even some pastors and others who I would have expected to be really kind of abiding in the word, as I was having those honest conversations, I discovered that a lot of people, a lot mm-hmm. of Christians were just privately really not reading much. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just write about my experience mm-hmm. and write some little tips that I've learned for myself that might be able to help others. Mm-hmm. I suppose this red chair on the very front of the cover here is special. That's actually my red chair. Oh. One night I went to bed praying, "Lord, show me how to have a deeper walk with you." And the next morning I woke up and I gave my children breakfast and gave them a few toys. And then I went and sat in my red chair and took out my Bible and started to read and pray. Mm. And as my children came over to me and said, "Come, Mummy, come and play with us," I mm-hmm. said, "Wait, sweetheart, Mummy's just spending some time with Jesus." Mm-hmm. And at first they kind of, they were only two or three. They didn't really understand. But every day as I started doing this, even just for 10 minutes a day, mm-hmm. they started to realize that when I was in that chair, they Jesus could see time. Me. It was spending time with mm-hmm. Jesus.
I'm going to interrupt for a minute because you told me something the other day that really was precious. Your oldest son, Jacob, what does he do in the morning? Tell me that about it.
So,
I'm just interrupting
absolutely.
Here, but this is spending time. And really, he's been watching you. So then what happened?
Right. So I actually find him outside under one of our gum trees in Australia, and he has his Bible out there and he's singing and he's praying, watching the sunrise.
And how old is he?
He's 13 at the moment.
And praise God.
And then I go into my daughter's room and she's lying in bed reading. And my littlest Eli, he and I often sit together and read. I guess this book shares strategies for parents mm-hmm. because I think as parents, often we struggle with how do I teach my child to do this?
Yes.
And yet it's actually not that difficult. Mm. I would, I really believe that all we need is a Bible. For me, I have a journal. This is my current journal. Mm-hmm. And of course, a pen. And I found that for myself, the difference between just reading my Bible, mm-hmm. kind of hastily reading, mm-hmm. and studying is mm-hmm. actually writing. Mm-hmm. It's almost as though it slows down my thoughts, and often I'll copy out scripture. I'll underline a word or a passage that mm-hmm. really stands out, and I'll respond to that. And even this morning I prayed, Lord, you know how much time I need with you. Wake me up when you need me to wake up. And he mm-hmm. does this every morning. Mm.
So why is spending time with God, I mean, this might be a silly question, but why is it so important for us? We know the show is called Revival for Mission. So how is that connected, the time spending with God in the Word and revival and mission? Show us the connection.
I suppose, you know, I was working on a Bible curriculum mm-hmm. and I felt like I couldn't give what I didn't have. Mm. And I think as Christians, we can't share what we don't have. Mm-hmm. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. And so often I've read something in the morning, really seeking God for a message. Right. And at times I'll think, well, is that relevant for today? And then I'll meet someone later in the day and I'll share it and they'll say, how did you know that I needed this message? So I think this is so relevant mm-hmm. to all of us, no matter our age, whether we're talking about a child who can share with one of their friends or one of us.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about curriculum, and you've been involved with that, and you are involved with helping children, older ones, learn more in a systematic way about this precious word. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is so vital for our own experience.
Yes.
It is central to it. But what if somebody comes to you and says, oh, Nina, the Bible is so boring. I mean, regardless of what language you speak, I mean, I know you speak fairly fluent Russian. And Jonathan, you speak very fluent German. It doesn't matter what language, whether it's in those languages or English language, or sometimes people, it's just too boring. What do you tell somebody like that?
Do you know, I think if I only ever read the Bible when I felt like it, I might not read it that much. Mm. And yet I choose to read it. But I think the way we approach scripture really determines what we take away. If I come to it thinking, I've read this before, this is so familiar to me, there's really nothing in here, then I'll probably walk away unchanged. Mm-hmm. But if I come in a prayerful, humble attitude, believing that this is a living, powerful Word of mm-hmm. God, and if I'm looking, if I'm digging deeply for the treasure in this yes. book, then every time I come away unchanged, every mm-hmm. time. Even in the obscure places, sometimes in the battles or the genealogies, you might see a description of a person and think, oh, I need to aspire to that, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. It's been, I must say that I actually have never read the Bible through, and I'm 40. a year and a half ago, because I've always kind of read, and then when I got to Leviticus, I'd feel a bit cumbersome. and yet a year and a half ago, I started reading just slowly, and I'm now halfway through, and it's just been profound how much, I've got many, many of these journals, mm-hmm. how much God speaks to us when we come in that spirit.
But now let's get real practical. What would you tell one of our viewers who says, this all sounds great, I wish I had that experience, but how do I begin? Mm-hmm. What do I do? Mm-hmm. You've given us some examples already, journaling, mm-hmm. Trying to find a beautiful truth in a chapter you read, mm-hmm. trying to make it relevant, asking the Lord, I might meet somebody today and one of these things is going to really spark an interest if I share it with someone. But give us two or three things that are really practical for someone who says, okay, I carry my Bible to church. I look up the texts when we have scripture reading, but how do I begin?
It's such a good question. I think there are a few very simple strategies. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the back of the book, I actually have five bookmarks, and one of them is for children, which is a very, very simple, they're actually pop-out bookmarks. Let me read you the six steps that I have for children. Mm-hmm. First of all, ask Jesus to be with you as you read. So pray. Choose a Bible verse, one verse, just a simple verse. It might be a promise that you're familiar with. Write it down in your journal. Underline the big idea, one word even that stands out. The fifth step. What do you think that idea is telling you about God or your relationship with Him? Mm. And then what do you want to say back to Jesus, to God about
it? It's very interactive, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And I think God is interactive. You know, He's given us His word. We can't see Him necessarily, but this is very powerful and living. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, are relational. God made us in His image. Mm-hmm. He wants us to respond. He wants to have a dialogue with us. Mm-hmm. So this is a way that I think, and of course, there are many other ideas here as well. One of the bookmarks actually has a number of different areas about promises and readings that we can be taken to for specific areas. If we mm-hmm. are wanting to praise God, if we're feeling stressed or worried, there's some suggested passages that we can go right. to. This book gives us advice on anything in our lives. Mm. And yet we see it as difficult sometimes, but I think this is, I really believe that the devil's greatest strategy is to keep our Bibles closed. He wants us to think it's difficult when it's mm-hmm. really not.
Mm-hmm. We could talk for the next hour.
We could.
And it would be wonderful. But before Jonathan closes up this segment, let me just say how privileged we've been to have you here. Mm-hmm. And we believe in you, and we're proud of you, of what you're doing and how you're affecting the lives of so many young people. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing, Nina. I don't know how it is for you, but I want to read my Bible even more now. And I know that Nina's book is available. We're going to put it on our website, revivalformission.tv, all the information you need. And you'll be challenged to go deeper in the Word of God. But in the Word of God is where we meet Him and where we experience revival for mission. So stay with us as we're going to address some questions to Pastor Wilson after the next few seconds. So be with us, and thank you again, Nina, for being with us as well.
Thank you.
As it is our tradition on this show, we have questions for Pastor Wilson that you sent in through revivalformission.tv. So keep sending those questions, and we'll make sure that they get asked here to Pastor Wilson. So a question today is, first question, how do we know if the Bible is really true? What can you say about that?
Well, there are a lot of reasons or ways in which you can apply that particular question in order to come up with the right answer. One of the things is that Bible prophecy is so powerful in its verification that this is the Word of God. I mean, you take prophecies, and let's just take Daniel chapter 2 and the statue and all the explanations and the kingdoms and all of that. It's so accurate, mm-hmm. and it was done ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So these powerful prophetic understandings help you to know that there is accuracy in the Bible. There is a life-changing power in the Bible, yes. and that helps you to know that something rings true in there. The most important thing about verifying that the Bible is accurate mm-hmm. is what it actually does in your own life.
That's right.
It changes you. It helps you to see things in an even clearer way. And like Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Mm. So when you're spending time in the Word, you're going to be changed.
That's right. Now there are,
and you're going to believe that it's real.
Yes, absolutely. There are many versions of the Bible, many different kinds, and in many translations and so on. And one of the questions actually was, which one do you think is the best translation? Which one is the best version of the Bible?
Of course, I mean, it depends on what language you're speaking mm-hmm. and what's available. There are lots of versions in English, and people can choose the one that makes them feel the closest to God in terms of understanding His Word. Personally, I like the New King James Version. But the best Bible is the one that you read.
Amen.
So I encourage everyone to read.
Yes, that's a very good answer. And last question here is a deeper one. It says, I would like to know just what the unpardonable sin is and how to know if you've committed it.
The unpardonable sin, and if the person is actually asking the question, then they haven't committed the unpardonable sin. Because the unpardonable sin, according to Matthew chapter 12 and verses 31, 32 in there, if you are resisting the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are continually refusing to repent, if you are keeping the power of God away from you and you are sealing yourself off from any outside influence by the Holy Spirit, finally, after a period of time, you have committed the unpardonable sin because you simply have blocked God off. And God doesn't want you to do that. He wants to draw you close to Him. So if you're asking the question, you're in good shape because it means you want to know God.
That's right. Well, Pastor Wilson, I've been so blessed today as we've been talking about the Bible with Nina and how we can really grow in our experience in the Word. Can you share with us some final thoughts and with our viewers about the importance of staying in the Bible and having a daily connection with Him?
Well, friends, we've had a special time together today reflecting on the power of the Bible, God's special gift to each one of us. I want to invite you today to make a commitment of basking in the Word of God every day, listening to what He has to say to you for that very day. Let's close our time together just now with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for providing us with the living Word, Jesus Christ, and with the written Word, which gives us an understanding of your great love and instruction for our life. Please, Lord, give us the opportunity and the ability to study your word every day and understand your purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.